2-1-2 break. Lead pass, settle Brady, moving in, shoot, score!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Will Smith in front, he scores!
As the official ticket marketplace of the Sharks in the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Along the drive, great save by Askarov!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build-Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Celebrini pushes it out to Smith, to the red line, fires on the left side. He had Celebrini breaking down the wing. Celebrini putting Bouchard into the boards in the chase for the puck. Now Kovalenko to Smith. Smith shoots, score! A snap of the puck for Will Smith. What a beautiful goal. And he extends his goal-scoring streak to four straight games to get the Sharks on the board. It's 2-1 Edmonton.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Calgary Flames today at 5, pregame 4:30, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Some of the news coming out of Morningscape per Peng Shang. Cam Lund is out due to illness. Tom Bordalo is in. Happy to see Boards back up with San Jose. Tyler Toffoli and Wennberg will play. Romanoff starts. Klim Kostin has a lower body injury. Warsawski has not ruled him out for the year. Bordalo will be playing with Ostapchuk and Grundstrom. So those are some of the storylines that we are looking at heading into tonight's game. To talk about the San Jose Sharks and a lot that's been going on, we are now joined by my good friend Alan Hoshida, who is the host of Sharks Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California. Alan, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
What's up, people? You know, three games left in the season. We're feeling good. The Blackhawks are doing the Sharks a ton of favors here. So it looks like, by all intents and purposes, the Sharks have secured a top three pick. And that's, I think, how I'm going to say it now for the last three games. Top three pick and the best odds for the number one pick again.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. We were talking about this the other night, Al, and I want to expound upon this a little bit more. In the lottery era, no team has ever had number one back-to-back, but also no team has ever had the worst record in the league in back-to-back seasons. Yeah. So, I mean, the Sharks, as much as I feel like I've seen worse hockey teams, and there, by point totals, there have been worse teams, but by being the worst team most likely 2 years in a row, they have entered historically bad territory.
Yeah, they are. I mean, and if you go back 3-4 years, that this run has been on the other side of greatness, if you want to put it that way. They haven't had a lot of success. And I think this season, as we've talked about a lot, it's a different, obviously, the level of unsuccess, which isn't a word, but the level of unsuccess.
I understand
year,
it.
Yeah, seems different than last year. But yeah, they haven't finished back-to-back. No team has finished last back-to-back years. No team has got the first overall pick in back-to-back years in the lottery era. Now, there's a caveat to that. There's an asterisk the Florida Panthers actually did in 2002 and 2003. But of course, they decided they're going to trade the first overall pick for Rick Nash and then Marc-Andre Fleury. Someone asked me, how'd that work out for them? Not great. So you probably shouldn't trade the first overall pick. I get it if, you know, you drop a little bit and you want to, you know, go back a little bit. I mean, Jay Bouwmeester was a good player. That's one of the players they got. But he wasn't Rick Nash, and he also wasn't Marc-Andre Fleury. So, you know, they had Roberto Luongo, though. Whatever. You want to say whatever you do. But it hasn't happened. So this could be historic in what happens. But also, there's also the other side of it is that also only 50% of the worst team in the league or the best odds gets the first overall pick in the last 10 years, and that's since 2015. So it feels like it's a 50-50 shot, right? And if you're in the believers that some ping pong balls have different temperatures than the others, I don't know where I fit with that. I don't know if we feel good about the Sharks going in with when they draw those ping pong balls, but you hope for the best. And bottom line, they're going to have a top three pick. And I think they're in a good spot in that situation. And you talked about it, or you mentioned maybe the second pick isn't that bad. Takes a little pressure off. Yeah. And then you get to do, you're a little more reactionary to what you are. And then let's say Schaefer doesn't go number one overall for whatever reason. Maybe there is a team, maybe the third team, the fourth team really wants Schaefer. And you're like, okay, well, maybe I could pick up a player or another first round pick, but still get the guy they want. That's the thing. You have to get the guy you want. You can't trade back and then the guy you want is off the board. You have to get the guy you want. And I think that's the bottom line here.
It's interesting, though, because, you know, we talk about the Sharks and their unsuccess, as you phrased it. But, I mean, I'm looking at the standings. Detroit, once again, they're eliminated. You look at the Sabres, eliminated. You look at the Flyers, eliminated. You look at the Penguins being out of it. Then we go over to the West. You look at Anaheim. They're out of it once again. Obviously, Nashville, despite the fact that they, you know, loaded up this past offseason, they're eliminated. Chicago, obviously, in a similar boat to San Jose. But, you know, I think the main one that we point to is probably the Red Wings, is it feels like they prematurely declared their rebuild over. And the Sharks, I don't think, are going to do that. I think Mike Greer, the only thing he's really said is that he feels like they're at the end of when they're going to be tearing down at the deadline. But, you know, he has, you know, he has not said once that they're going to do anything but not rush things.
Right. And I think they can do both because of, like we talked about, they're in a situation where they have to spend money. They have to. They have to spend $20 million at the bare minimum this offseason to get to the salary floor. So they have to do something, but also they don't have to rush things. And I think if you're Detroit, you might be wishing you didn't trade away Jake Walman because you probably needed it this year. If you have Snyder and then you have Walman, you have a better decor. And so there is that premature. You have to wait things out. You can't all of a sudden just turn the dial. But the other thing that you're looking at those teams is they don't have a Macklin Celebrini. They didn't get a Macklin Celebrini in their draft. Connor Bedard is very close, and he's going to be a very good player down the road. I know, you know, we have a little bit of fun comparing the two, but bottom line, those two guys are going to be generational talents offensively, and they're going to be very good for their teams. But the other, Buffalo, they had Jack Eichel, and they somehow figured out a way to not make that work. And he's now with the Vegas Knights and having a spectacular year. The difference between rebuilds working and rebuilds not, it really comes down to who you're drafting and those players hitting. And Macklin Celebrini is going to allow Mike Greer to – I think Mike Greer can be in this position where he's, like, throttling by hitting the clutch a little bit, like doing two things at once, if that makes sense, because he set himself up to have 20 mil, like we said, huge amount of cap space that he has to pay for. Like, you have to do it. And Hasso, you know, Hasso Plattner, the owner, he's not a cheap owner by any means. I know there's a little, like, discourse in there that, oh, he doesn't pay, but why would you pay right now? Like, there's no reason for you to pay. But when you look at the runs of the playoffs, they were always a top 10 salary team.
Oh, yeah, they were always right at the top. Yeah.
Let's say they get to the salary floor here and they're slow rolling it. They get some guys that are kind of fringe, but if they get into it and they're at the trade deadline, I wouldn't be surprised that if they're towards the trade deadline next year and they're having a really great year, that they don't go out and go get someone, because they have almost $45 million in cap space. So I don't know, to your point, is like they can ride this two angle thing in these two tracks and simultaneously.
Wait, you're not going to say two timelines, are you? Is that what you were alluding to when you came in?
Yeah. Well, when I was saying that, I was like, oh, we're not talking about the Warriors here. The Warriors somehow figured out a way to thread it, but it was up and down. It's like this. And then they went like this. And yeah, so, but maybe it's not a two timeline, but I think it's two speeds. I don't know if that's like, you can hit it hard. Maybe you accelerate and then you know, pull back, accelerate a little bit. I think there's a way that the Sharks have set themselves up here to both be cautiously aggressive in a way, you know, like they don't have to put everything into one basket, but they also could put a couple eggs in the basket.
Yeah. It's almost Easter. So I like where we're trending with this. Now, obviously, the timeline for the Barracuda right now, they have clinched a playoff spot. Chernyshov, Musty joining the squad. Obviously, you got Colin Graf back with the Barracuda now. I know they lost last night after they clinched on Friday night, which I expected. I'm not trying to say that.
Hey, they might have had a lot of fun the night before.
Exactly.
So, things happen.
These guys, they're veteran guys. There are players that have been fighting to get to the postseason. They've been with the Barracuda for a couple years as they've missed out. I was expecting a letdown game, but I think that they have the potential to make a deep run. What are your hopes for the Barracuda? I know that we can, you know, talk to our blue in the face about, yes, we want them to win a championship, but my main desire is for them to walk away from this with having big moment, big situational hockey experience for young players like Colin Graf, being on the kill in a 2-2 game in the third period, stuff like that. Like, that's what I want them to experience more than I'm just going to say championship, championship, championship.
Right. I think I'm really excited. We have Nick Nuhlenberger on the show today for pre and post, and pre is going to be really heavy CUDA, because I think at this point in the season, that's what is important here. So we're going to talk a lot about the about these things, and I'm really interested to hear his perspective on this. Philip Bista, though, unfortunately, got hit and bored last night, might be injured again. And that he came back and was really productive right away. That's really unfortunate for him, for his development, for the team, because I know they kind of have big plans for him as well. But to your point, what you're talking about, I think, you know, championship would be great, obviously. I think one series, I would like a series win, just one. Because to figure out what it's like to win a series, you know, have an elimination game and win that game or whatever it may be, I think that's important. And then if you go micro of that, like you're talking about, the situational, hey, down one goal in the third period, how do we come back with this? Askarov, like, he's got to be in these games, in these playoff games where he's got to steal a game. He's got to make some big saves. And, you know, he's kind of been hot and cold here. You know, he's coming back from injury and had a really good game, and 1-0 in the clinching game. And actually, not the clinching game, the game before. But because Carrier played the clinching game. But, you know, he's got to find his consistency. And in these playoffs, I think put those guys in those moments. And Graf is going to be a huge contributor here. Hopefully Podorowski comes back and he's already done it. Right. Yeah. That's the other thing, is they already have, like, Jimmy Schultz.
Yeah.
They already have guys that know how to win the Calder Trophy. Or the Calder Cup. Sorry. I mean, you know, okay, the NHL, AHL hockey, we can't have two of the same name. We got to fix it, especially when we got Calder Brini and we got all this going on. But the Calder Cup, they know how to win the Calder Cup. And so I think it's going to be good for these young guys. Like you talked about, I think on postgame or pregame, is they had the NCAA, the Frozen Four experience, a lot of the guys. But, you know, like Bortolo, who's actually coming up with boards, coming up with the Sharks. But to be in these playoffs series, long series, where some things are matchups, like that's the great thing about series, is sometimes you can win a one-off game, right? The Sharks can catch, right now, Sharks can catch teams on bad nights, but can you beat a team four times in one series? And that's where I think coaching becomes huge in the playoffs, is because, well, we've seen it with Bruce Bochy right here around here, Steve Kerr, they know how to set up teams and scenarios and who to attack and who not to attack. And that's, I think, the brilliance of coaching. I think regular season, you know, it's a lot about player management, emotions. All right, who are we pressing the right buttons here and there? But then when you get into the series, I think that's where really good coaches separate themselves, because they know, hey, this line has this other line's number. And then on the road, how do you counter that? So also, I think it's good for McCarthy, right? John McCarthy be in those situations if he has plans to rise as a young head coach.
Yeah.
So I think all those things are good, and being in such scenarios. And then selfishly, let's get a series win. Let's push. Let's see if they can win as much as they can, because winning is contagious. And if you start learning how to win at the AHL level, you're going to bring that up and be like, oh, we're supposed to win. There won't be this feeling of we're supposed to lose, we're the San Jose Sharks. It'll be back to that return of we're supposed to win.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge. I think that's really important. Now, I hope the biggest thing, and maybe not the biggest thing, try to get out of this as injury free as possible. Yeah. That's also a big thing, especially for the younger guys that are coming through, like Musty and Chernyshov. You want them as healthy as can be. They're playing a lot of hockey now, you know, turned ankle, you know, sore wrist or something like that. Those things happen. Like, those are all going to happen. I think everyone's probably injured a little bit, but, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, nothing like Shakir Mukhamudulin or a broken ankle like Mario Ferraro is dealing with. Like, that's just, you can't have that, right? So I think you got to play hockey, though. Hockey happens. Like, injuries happen. You can't play scared. I'm not saying that, but those are, you know, my thought bubble is like, okay, let's get out of here injury free. Askarov, get out of here injury free so he can compete in training camp next season.
No, and that's, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about with the Sharks, watching the Shakir Mukhamudulin go down and Mario Ferraro, and, you know, you mentioned Bisted, and then, you know, obviously you're watching, you know, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith continue to have great performances going into the end of the year. It's just like, stay healthy. But I did, you know, we're talking about these younger guys. I wanted to talk to you about Will Smith, because watching his rise and his performance in this second half of the year, and I really think it goes back to that game we had together, the breakfast with the Sharks, where Will Smith had the goal and the assists where he created both of those plays against Boston and just had a great game. And it seemed like that was the turning point. That was, yeah. An early Monday morning game, for us on the West Coast. And it seemed to change his season. And since that point, he's just been on fire. His shot, the snipe, Alan, it's remarkable to watch. And he's stepping into defensive situations more often. And he just looks like such a better player. So much of the season focus has been on Macklin Celebrini because he hit the ground running. But Will Smith, man, I think that we knew he was going to be good, but it was a slower climb for him. But now that he's, made that climb, it feels like every game he can change the game. I know that we were all marveling over Macklin's 5-point game the other night, which he had a hat trick, but let's not forget about Will Smith having a goal and 3 assists. Like, he had a massive game that was only overshadowed by Macklin's 5-point game.
Yeah, and he's been point for point a lot since January 20th. He's been point for point with Macklin Celebrini. They're point producers basically every game. And if you can get that for the future, that's what you want. Will Smith, I think, is flown under the radar. He's fourth all-time on rookie scoring for the San Jose Sharks. If this was any other rookie year and he's by himself, he's having the type of year that we're talking about him throughout it. I mean, obviously, he's a little further down in the Calder race, but he's maybe the fourth best rookie forward or, skater, I should say, that's out there right now. And so he's having a phenomenal year. And I go back to just the maturity and how much respect I have for him to go through the toughness that he went through early on and to come out the other side. He got benched. Yeah. So basically what happened, he gets benched in the third period, has a so-so game the next one, comes out, plays pretty well, and then he goes to Boston, right, what you're talking about. And, the thought came across to me yesterday or a couple days ago is like, did he talk to someone in Boston? Because he's from Boston, right? Yeah. Or was it just something with his family?
He went to school there, and I think he grew up in Chicago, but I can't remember off the top of my head. I know his family has Chicago and Boston ties.
Yeah. Well, he's from the area, but he gets to be – what meaning is – did he talk to his old college coach? Did he talk to like his parents or his dad or his family that just eased him? Yeah. Was there something that just eased him? And he just said, okay, let's just go play hockey. And I think from that moment on, what you've talked about, he's just kind of turned the corner and gone in a totally different direction. And he's been right there with Macklin Celebrini. And if you have those two guys pulling your team forward, we kind of talked about what we were trying to talk about on pregame was the fact that they could have the next generation of a Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl type of team where you have them split. What I wanted to really talk about is you have them split, right? Yeah. But then you saw it against the Wild. Hey, we need to go play a game. We need goals. You put them on the same line and you let them go dominate. And that's what the Oilers have done when they really need offense. They put those two all-world guys together and they don't dominate a game. And I don't know if the Sharks, Will Smith or Macklin Celebrini will become that. It seems like the Sharks have that option, which is a great option to have, where if you need a goal, third period, put those two guys together. They know chemistry. They know each other. And it almost doesn't really matter who's on the other wing. Colin Graf is a great one or whoever comes up with the team. Yeah. But they have that ability now to take over a game. I think it was a huge thing for Will, the vision he has to see Macklin. And they're just going to be able to pace this team. And then they have another top three pick that is going to be a young stud here coming in. That's why also in pregame or postgame, whatever it was, I said it feels like a luxury of whatever they have here coming because those two guys hit. I think those two guys hit, and there's no doubt about it. And maybe they'll have a sophomore slump a little bit, but those guys hit.
Hear more of that conversation on tomorrow morning's Morning Tide. We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Calgary Flames tonight. 5 o'clock go time, 4:30 pregame. As we take a look at the standings right now, Calgary has not been mathematically eliminated as of yet. They are still in the fight. They have 2 games in hand on St. Louis. They are 4 points back. So this is obviously going to be a much bigger game for Calgary than it is for San Jose. San Jose, though, with the Blackhawks losing in overtime last night, currently have a 6-point buffer right now heading into the final 3 games of the season. So they are looking to be in a very, very good territory right now. So for San Jose, continue playing hard, continue to fight. But again, I wouldn't be too upset if they end up with the most likely odds to get the number one overall pick. We are just about out of time. 5 o'clock go time, 4:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network as San Jose visits Calgary. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Here's Ekman moving in deep to the corner, tries to send it toward the net, went off an Oilers stick, but Ekman's there first, spins on the right board, shoots one, pad save made by Pickard, rebound front, keeps it, shoots, tip, score! Henry Front just sent it toward the net from the left wing boards, it went off of traffic in front, and the Sharks have tied this game 2-2 at 5-4.